Welcome to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Summit.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jacksonville!
Jaguars Monday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Carey Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sunny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith begins right now.
And we welcome you in. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sudeth, right here on Jaguars Radio. Following the Jaguars' 38-13 loss in San Diego yesterday, Vic Ketchman, the senior editor of Jaguars.com, is here. Vic, how was your travel back?
Fine. I like the trip. The comment I made was that I felt like we were in Cincinnati. I didn't get any feeling of West Coast. I didn't get any feeling of jet lag. We flew out a couple hours longer than you would take to fly to Cincinnati, and I watched a football game, and I didn't get this tremendous sense of we had traveled to the other side of the earth for something that was beyond this team. I didn't get that at all.
And general manager Gene Smith is here. Gene, how are you today?
I'm doing okay. Certainly, with how we played, that doesn't sit well with anybody. That certainly has a strong desire to win. And I'd like to think everybody, a part of the organization, has the same feeling.
I know we're going to get into the – I know we are likely to get emails from people who want to go to the West Coast thing, Can't play in the West Coast, blah, 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 blah. I will remind everyone that last year the Jaguars lost a game in New England late in the year with a lot on the line. I think it was 35-7, something like that. And New England is very definitely not on the West Coast.
No.
Tom Brady in that game was 23 of 26 for 267 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, and a 149 passer rating. So it's not as though what happened in Seattle, San Francisco, and then, of course, in San Diego this past weekend is reserved exclusively for the West Coast. I mean, I would like everyone to remember that this is a team, in my opinion, that is in reconstruction, that is rebuilding itself, rebuilding its roster, looking for answers to obvious questions, and it has happened on both coasts. So, I mean, let's not go nuts with the time zone stuff.
All right. Well, Gene, what do you think about this whole West Coast thing? What's your take on it?
Well, I think you got to be able to win on the road. If you want to become a good football team that can contend, you got to be able to win on the road.
All right. If you want to get a comment in, you can via Facebook, by the way, Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars, and you can add your comment in. We'll have some of the best ones brought in as well as part of that. I said last week that we all put too much into 1 week. We see the opener and we decide we know exactly what's going to happen the rest of the season. And then the follow-up this week is if you don't see the same thing back-to-back weeks, well, now you think, now this is the truth of it. When you're evaluating this thing, how do you balance a very good game with a not-so-good game?
Well, it is certainly a week-to-week thing in the NFL. It's an emotional roller coaster, and you certainly can't get too high or too low. And obviously, yesterday was a very disappointing game for a lot of different reasons. But again, you got to regroup. You got to get focused on the next opponent. You certainly got to learn from this loss, because if you do, you gain from it. And, I'm very optimistic. It's a long season, and I'm not going to put too much weight into one game as long as we take the things we can learn from it and, again, improve as a football team.
There was a truth last Monday, and there's a truth this Monday, and there'll be another truth next Monday. In other words, truth is a Monday game, and it seems to change every Monday. That's part of the excitement, the intrigue of the game of football, is it's a weekly event, and our emotions change on a weekly basis. Now, having said that, and I do understand that this is a weekly thing, and this is only the second game of this season. But I will sympathize with the fans' disappointment in this way. If this score in front of me was 20-17, I'd feel a lot better than what it is. You know, it bothers me that that game appeared to be over by halftime. That bothers me, and the one that bothers me the most, the part of that game that bothers me the most, is the Chargers' last drive of the first half. 1:50 to go, backed up to their 13-yard line. Conventional wisdom is, okay, now let's run the clock down a little bit here, try to get a first down, take a knee, and get out of here with a lead, 14-6. They just put the pedal to the floor. There was no fear. They just let it rip, you know, and they went down the field 87 yards. They went down the field so fast that there was a point where they let 32 seconds go off the clock between plays so that they wouldn't leave any time left on the clock. That's where my disappointment is. And I think it's fair for fans to be disappointed. Not dismissive of the season. That's insanity. I mean, I don't know why anyone would want to just say, that's it, it's over, and quit. That makes no sense. We're in mid-September. But I think it's fair to be disappointed.
Oh, I completely agree. You know, if you're satisfied at any point during the year, again, you're not improving as a football team. And there are a lot of things in this particular game that you could put your finger on. It wasn't any one thing. It was a number of things. And so although we took a step back, we hope to take a couple steps forward this weekend.
Take me through from a GM standpoint. After a game like that, on the flight back, and you think – What goes through your mind? What do you think about on on a 4-hour flight back after a game like that?
Well, you certainly think about a lot of different things. The number one thing that I have to do after the game is I have to assess the status of the roster. And certainly from a live look, you can't put too much into player performance. You have to study the film the following day. But in terms of the status of your team, like injury-wise, there's things I'm doing during the course of the game to be out in front of potential roster moves that may occur.
Well, now, obviously, you've led me to a question that I have to ask and should ask. It appears you have an injury at quarterback. I don't want to give anything away here, but that's obviously something you have to consider because you only have two in the roster, right?
That is correct.
Any thoughts beyond that?
Yeah, that's something that we will make a decision on tomorrow as to the direction we go. But, again, injuries are a part of the game. It's unfortunate what happened to Luke in the game, and we'll certainly have a plan of attack that we'll employ.
Is Brett Ratliff far enough along that to be activated, to become a number two?
Well, from our standpoint, he's a young, developing quarterback. Mm-hmm. I mean, our direction is one where we'll bring in a guy that certainly has the veteran experience that we feel comfortable with. And again, that's part of what I do every week after the game. And certainly it takes place on Monday and Tuesday, so we're ready to go for practice on Wednesday.
Is Todd Bauman still on the street?
Yes, he is.
It's a pretty thin crop, though, isn't it? I mean, finding a quarterback at this stage of the game, it's pretty difficult.
Right. So from my standpoint, again, I listen to our coaching staff, and we have a ready list that we work from, and certainly we're going to make a decision and move forward.
The question that I'm getting from people today, God all day long, is will GM Gene trade for a quarterback? My opinion there, my answer to that would be nuts, giving away draft picks that are probably going to be worth more next spring than the guy you're bringing in now is worth. Do you agree with that, or would you trade?
Well, we always consider all options, but from my standpoint, At this point in the season, you got to look at a lot of different things. Number one, what's available? What are the valid considerations? There's a lot of things you can think about, try to do, and aren't able to do so. I think from, like, my perspective, the quarterback position is one that's, I think, well protected at this level. Mm-hmm. By the rules of the game, this year, the movement of the umpire behind the pocket along with the referee. And then, again, I think we have a quarterback here that's been durable. And there's a lot of teams around the league that certainly have a quarterback that's been fortunate, that has been able to stay healthy, and it's a calculated risk that they've taken to try to go with your starter and a backup type. So there's some that carry three, there's some that carry two, and we're one of them that carry two.
All right, some of the decisions are going to have to be made, and certainly every GM dealing with that, and that's sort of a look into it from the Jaguars general manager. Visit Sportsmania today for your chance to win the ultimate Jaguars game day experience, a limo ride, club seats, and Sky Lounge tailgate party passes for the Jaguars-Colts game. Register for free at your closest Sportsmania in Jacksonville. We're back with some of your comments via Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars or the Jaguars general manager as we continue on Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suddeth, right here on Jaguars Radio.
Here comes pressure up the middle. It's blocked! It's blocked and then picked up. And the Jaguars are going to get it inside Chargers territory at the 44-yard line. Kasim Osgood makes the tackle. Rashad Jennings with the punt block.
One of the highlights from yesterday's Jaguars game in San Diego. Reminder to check out Teal Town prior to every Jaguars home game, including on Sunday as the Eagles are in town. Check out Teal Town with live bands, a huge LED screen, interactive games, football drills, and specially discounted concessions, including $2 draft beers. Admission is free with no game ticket required. Teal Town is just south of the Pepsi Plaza at Everbank Field. And speaking of the ticketing situation, about 2,100 tickets remain to get to the blackout number for Sunday's game. About 500 of those are single tickets, or singles here and there, which, not likely to sell a bunch of those, and you can work around those in terms of the blackout. So about 1,600 tickets need to be sold, as of this morning anyway, to get to that blackout number by Thursday at 1 o'clock.
Cole, there are, as members of the media, when we have the opportunity to have the boss on our air, there are obviously questions for which we are responsible for asking. So let's make sure we get those in. The first one is Derek Cox. If you can update us, where is this guy? Yesterday, Coach Del Rio told the media after the game that it was not an injury that caused him to be deactivated, that he wanted him to take a step back, take a breath, take a look at himself, I guess just get away from what had become a downward thing for him. If you would, update us on Derek Cox and your expectations and where you think this is going.
Well, my expectation is him to continue to work hard and earn back that starting spot. He's got too much time on task. He's too talented not to get back into that position. But I have to trust Jack's judgment on how he handles our players, and he felt this was the best thing to do for Derek, for our football team. And certainly I have a lot of confidence in Derek, but he did struggle in that first game, and he's got to play himself through it.
What caused this? When did this start? We started to see some signs of it. I mean, I can remember up at in Flowery Branch, the combined practices with the Falcons, we saw signs of it up there. At least I did. Do you have more information on that? How did this happen?
Well, again, with a lot of young players, there's challenges that they're confronted with when a team gets a full book on them, or the league gets a full mm-hmm. book on them as a player. And, it's a position that's difficult to play, number one. And then number two, There's times in your career where you got to be able to overcome some things, and how you overcome them defines you as a person. And that's why I have so much confidence in Derek. You know, I'm not sure, Vic, when it took place. Certainly he was doing some good things in OTAs. He came into training camp. I know he had the foot sprain. He played through it. We played him on the left side. We played him on the right side, making no excuses for the player. I'm not sure what it was, at what point it started to occur, but he was not playing the level of where he is at a year ago. And, again, I feel confident that he'll play himself back into a starting role here.
Of course, another name that is always on everyone's lips for blame in one of these situations is the quarterback, David Garrard. I mean, that goes with the territory. That's why you make the big bucks, et cetera. How poorly did he play yesterday? Is he to be blamed for those interceptions, absolved? What is his role in all of what happened yesterday?
Well, I think David would tell you he didn't play well enough for us to win, certainly at a level that a starter needs to play at. The two interceptions that he had were underthrows, and both of them could have went for touchdowns. And that's probably the toughest thing about both of those throws. The other two balls were batted for interceptions. He had one sack that was off a three-step where he probably held the ball too long. But he made a couple outstanding throws in that game. And it wasn't a good game for a lot of quarterbacks around the NFL. David was one of them.
Well, I mean, how about his protection?
I thought for the most part he had fairly good protection. Mm-hmm. I do. Again, two bad throws that could have resulted in the touchdowns for us. And, you know, through the course of a whole season, you hope you don't have a game like that. Mm-hmm. But certainly he did. You know, there's some quarterbacks yesterday that struggled. He's not the only one.
One other name, Maurice Jones-Drew. Is he the same guy?
Well, certainly yesterday on 12 carries, he didn't have the type of production that you want, or he wants, I should say. And so I think he's eager to get back to doing what he does best, and that's running the football. So we didn't have a lot of highlights, per se, yesterday, and it's a team sport, so it's not any one player. It's a number of different things that happen through the course of the game. And, you know, I got to take my hat off to San Diego. I mean, they did a good job of being ready to play and you know, defending their turf.
You know, that's something we might be missing, is that's a Super Bowl caliber team. That's a team, in my opinion, that has no business losing in the first round of the playoffs, especially at home, as they did to the Jets last year. So, you know, I think we all need to keep that in mind, that the team the Jaguars played yesterday is one of the elite teams. It has been recognized as one of the elite teams in the league for the past 4 or 5 years.
All right, time now for an injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. Of course, the Jaguars will be waiting on word on Luke McCown. That's the injury from yesterday's game that we'll be awaiting word on. Vic, any update today from the locker room anywhere else on Luke McCown?
No, it's going on now, so we're, you know, everything got delayed today, so we're missing that.
All right, season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card when you purchase at least 10 gallons of Gate gasoline to get $2 in Jag Bucks. For details, go to Jaguars.com. More of your comments and more thoughts from the general manager, Gene Smith. It's Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suttis, continues right here on Jaguars Radio.
Gates, the tight end, is now lined up to the wing. So there's five. Pressure coming, and Rivers is hit and sacked, and down he goes. Darryl Smith got him back at the 26-yard line.
One of the highlights from yesterday's Jaguars loss in San Diego. Welcome back, Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suttis. Test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealers. All right, you can interact with the show via Facebook, facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. By the way, guys, did you know somewhat of an unwilling legend passed away today in Jacksonville?
Who?
guy by the name of Leonard Skinner. He was the PE coach at Lee High School, for whom the band Lynyrd Skynyrd was named, because the guys from Lynyrd Skynyrd were students of his, and he was your crew cut, mm-hmm. flat top, play by the rules type, and they were long haired kids, and he told them to cut their hair as it was a school policy, and so sort of
That's good trivia.
A little bit of a jab at him, yeah, and. So he passed away today here in Jacksonville, lived his whole life here in this town, and a guy who I think as he went along became a little more comfortable with it, but for a long time was not comfortable being associated with the band. But, you know. So anyway, that's a little bit of news from today.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I can't add to it. I'm Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett.
Well, but if you live in Jacksonville, you get a certain appreciation for Skynyrd, whether you are a Skynyrd fan or not, I think. And anyway, that's the tie-in that happened today. We do have one Facebook question here. Let's get things started. Try to brighten it up a little bit here. What are some positives from yesterday? Martin wants to know, what are some positives you saw yesterday?
Well, the defense did cause two turnovers, and we blocked a punt on special teams. I think those are positives. The one thing, when you look at the offensive stats, you got 350 yards of offense. They had eight more plays than what the Chargers had. You know, time of possession was about equal, but it again comes down to turnovers, and that was really the difference in the football game. But I'd like to think that there are some good things happening in spite of a loss like this. It's just tough to see through the fog, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to stay optimistic. This is one game that certainly is disappointing in terms of how we perform, but yet there's a tremendous character and work ethic, and I'm confident we'll regroup.
Jeff Logman, as you know, takes a look at the game film, and he'll have Rashad Jennings on TV with him this evening. And I asked him, hey, what'd you see? You know, how'd it look? And he said a guy who really stood out to him again was Mercedes Lewis. And Jack singled him out as being the most dominant player in camp, during training camp. And it seems like he's really taken his game to the next level after having kind of a breakout year last year.
Yeah, he's been consistent. And I say that on and off the field, you know, as a leader, and how he approaches the profession, and then certainly what he's done on the football field as a blocker and as a catcher. The other gentleman you mentioned, Rashad Jennings, he's done the same thing. So very encouraged by him, you know. And Greg Jones certainly did some good things in the game, in the first half in particular. I mean, there were a number of players who did good things in the game, but in the end, it's a team sport. And it's everyone working together to earn a win, and we weren't able to do that yesterday.
His runoff right tackle yesterday, I think it was in the second half. I could be wrong about that. Is the hardest I've seen him run in his 2 years here. He really looks like he really is becoming a pads down behind his pads runner. And he's really getting his power into it.
Yeah, he had a couple runs. The other one was on a draw play where he stuck his foot in the ground. It's an outstanding run up through the middle of their defense. And I think you're exactly right, Vic. He knows how to drop his weight in the hole. And, you know, his rookie year, he's a little upright. This year, he's learning how to become more of a complete running back.
The other thing is, I don't watch tape. I leave that for Jeff Logman. Mm-hmm. I try to accumulate information other ways from guys like Gene and Jeff and other people. And on the flight home last night, I spent some time talking to Mercedes Lewis, and he was not saying this to be quoted, but he was very, very proud of his run blocking yesterday. Now, I like that because here's a tight end who's proud of his blocking, not his catching. I told him that he and Heath Miller and these other all-around tight ends should get a union together and do their best to discredit the other guys, you know, the pass catchers. But he was really, really proud of his run blocking yesterday.
Well, and I would validate that based on how he performed. I mean, I think a lot of times people look at skill-type athletes for the plays they make, you know, catching the ball. And certainly he had one tremendous catch. But he's been a good blocker through last year into this year. It's one of the things that he's really honed his skills at being one of the best in the league.
This Sunday's game against the Eagles, who do you want, Cobb or Vic? Who do you hope is the starting quarterback?
Well, to be honest with you, I know we'll prepare for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd like to think, based on how Michael Vick performed yesterday, that's who we'll see. I mean, they're basically saying, out of sources up in Philadelphia, that Cobb will get a chance to, mm-hmm. to come back and play as their starter. So we'll see how this all unfolds.
DeSean Jackson and LeSean McCoy yesterday had explosive plays. I mean, we know that the Jackson, he's been there for a couple of years. Now all of a sudden it looks like McCoy is starting to blossom as a big play running back. Your thoughts on that, having to defend two guys that look like they can take it to the house?
Well, yeah, they got a lot of playmakers. When you look at the wide receiver mm-hmm. group, you look at the tight end, you look at the running back, and certainly Michael Vick at quarterback, that's a tough offense to defend. And then, you know, certainly Kevin is a guy that Andy Reid has a lot of confidence in as being their starter of the future. And so whoever they line up and play with is who we have to defend. And I would just say this, though, again, they have a lot of different people to defend because they got a lot of playmakers on that offense. You know, their receiver Jackson is a dynamic playmaker. He's one of the best playmakers in the NFL.
And they seem to keep accumulating that. And Andy Reid's been so good at utilizing guys and playing to guys' strengths offensively for a long, long time. He's been one of the best in the business, I think, about finding a way to utilize those guys.
I got to make sure I get this question in. It's off topic a little bit, but you know, next spring's quarterback crop is supposed to be fantastic. But all of a sudden, now Locker's struggling. Jake Locker is struggling, and the kid from Houston, Keenum, he blew out his ACL. Is this quarterback crop shrinking all of a sudden, or is that like a good thing? I mean, because you know they can play anyhow, and you're just going to get them cheaper.
Well, you try to study quarterback for more than certainly one game or one year, and there's so much that plays in the success of a quarterback, and so it'll be interesting as we go through the season of college football just to see how some of these guys do play as the season goes on. You do like to see players who continue to improve each week. And, you know, I'm big on the quarterback being a leader and quarterback winning games. So there's a lot of time left for a lot of those quarterbacks to do well.
If I was a big Arkansas fan, my ears would have just pricked up about that when talking about guys winning games and being a leader. And Ryan Mallett made some big plays late in the game to beat
Georgia. Do you like
Georgia.
Him?
You know, I actually saw him play his first year at Michigan mm-hmm. When Henny was injured. And, you know, he certainly was big then. He had a live arm. And again, he's another guy that, you know, it certainly has talent that when his time comes, he'll certainly be evaluated properly.
All right, well, that's a storyline. Vic, you and I have talked
about
this.
I want to, in time, absolutely.
I think I am having more fun watching college football this year for the quarterbacks to see how these guys go and advance. And we both have talked about some of the favorites that we have. I really like the looks of Andrew Luck at Stanford. I want to see him play more.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Locker's got a lot of attention, and Mallett and a number of others. But this has been a fun season to watch. Last year in college football was largely about great college quarterbacks being highlighted. This year you're talking about great pro prospects being highlighted.
One more. Russell Wilson, kid at North Carolina State, smaller guy, barely 6 foot. But he's having a big year. He's a great athlete, baseball player. At his size, can he play in the league?
Well, I think a guy his size can. It's just at what level. I don't know him as well as I know some of the other quarterbacks, so I couldn't give you an honest opinion.
Okay. All right, fans, vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First Credit Union MVP Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdowns for Teachers. Visit communityfirstfl.org for details. And Jaguars fans, check out the Fan Zone section of jaguars.com when you're going on to check out Ask Vic or some of the other pieces there on jaguars.com. On the Fan Zone, you can find out how to win Jaguars tickets and some great Jaguars merchandise. Just look for the list of participating Parts House Car Care Centers, Parts House official sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Back with our final segment of Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sutta, right after this timeout, right here on Jaguars Radio.
The snap, drop the throw, stepping up into the pocket, avoids the rush, now wants to run, turns and throws, and this one is tipped and intercepted. Courtney Green has got it. He's up at the 40-yard line and dives down to the 38. And the Jaguars have three takeaways now.
One of those takeaways from yesterday's Jaguars-Chargers game in San Diego when the Jaguars win. We all win at Sonny's Real Fit Barbecue. Get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on Monday or Tuesday after winning game. It's all at all participating Sonny's Real Fit Barbecue restaurants. All right, again, you can interact with the show via Facebook, facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. And one of Vic's loyal subjects, Zoltan,
readers.
Disciples, shall I call
him? No, he's a reader. He's an Ask Vic reader.
He is an Ask Vic reader. And I asked more than that, he's an Ask Vic asker.
He's my only one from Budapest.
You're big in Budapest. And his question was, for Gene, what do you think about Terrence Knighton's regular season performance so far?
Well, yesterday, probably, since he's been a Jaguar, he would probably say is probably the one game that he did not play the level of his ability. Again, for whatever reason, Terrence, for someone to ask that kind of a question for a guy who is a nose tackle, obviously has built a reputation as being a run stuffer, mm-hmm. and San Diego was able to get some runs inside that certainly Terrence would say would be his plays. I don't want to take anything away from Nick Hardwick. He's a good player at the center position, but Terrence can play a lot better, and I think he would be one of the first guys to tell you that.
Yeah, you don't expect that Michael Tolbert, third-year undrafted free agent from Coastal Carolina, is going to chew you up.
Well, I agree with that. He came in the game with, a lot of, I think, energy, eager to prove himself, mm-hmm. and he did a good job of it. He's kind of a pounder, more of a fullback type, but, he did well for himself yesterday.
You know, you guys, you flew into an ambush. I know that sounds awfully sports writer-like, awfully simplistic. But, I mean, I believe it. If they had won in Kansas City, if they had blown out the Chiefs on opening day, I don't think you would have had it as tough as you had it yesterday. I think you ran into an ambush. I think you had a team that was smarting, and they put on the tape, and they saw what appeared to be some things they could do, and they said, screw it, and they just put the pedal down to the metal. And, there was no fear, and you could tell there was no fear in that game plan.
No, they came out to obviously take care of business. Like I said earlier, defend their turf. They didn't play well the week before. They had a lot of pride from the season that they came off of in 2009, and I take my hat off to them. They played well yesterday.
Another comment on Facebook from Jesse who says, what can you do to stop the yo-yo effect the team seems to have? Talking about the inconsistency.
Well, I think it starts in practice, developing a sense of consistency in, each player's performance in practice. And I think when that happens, it should transfer into team success. And it happens in the NFL. People have games like this. Teams have games like this. And what you want to do is you want to rebound from them. You certainly don't want to stack losses like this. And, I know how the Giants feel today.
I mean, you hit on it, though. You're going to have those, so how do you bounce back? It's interesting to look after just 2 weeks. You have the Dolphins, Steelers, Texans, Chiefs, Bears, Packers, and Buccaneers are the 2-0 teams. So there's some pretty darn good teams that have lost a game already this year that, The Dolphins, you might have thought a 2-0 start. The Steelers, without Ben Roethlisberger. They threw
for 43 yards yesterday, which only goes to prove that you can do it with defense. It doesn't have to all be up to the quarterback.
The Texans, maybe not a huge, they beat the Colts, and that was a lot of folks had raised an eyebrow on that one. The Chiefs, you wouldn't have expected a 2-0 start. The Bears, the Buccaneers, certainly wouldn't have expected a 2-0 start. The Packers, I think you would have, but... So that's two out of those 2-0 teams that you'd say, that seems about right. So what happens in a month or 2 months or 3 months down the line, we'll see how the standings stack up. But there's some pretty good teams that have already lost games this year.
There are, and there's 14 regular season games to be played yet. And I feel like this is a different team. In spite of what took place yesterday, I see greater things for this football team, and I want people to continue to believe in this football team. And we'll get back to practice. The best practice is a win, obviously, but we'll try to get better at some of the things we need to get better at within 1 week to play our best against the Eagles.
The best practice is a win. I've never heard that. In 40 years, I've never heard that. That's fabulous. I love that. The best practice is a win.
We have our quote for the week, huh?
Yeah. Would you characterize the importance of the next two games?
Well, we try to break the season down in quarters, and we'd like to win the first quarter of the season. And, this puts a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths by the way we played yesterday. I can understand why the fans feel the way they do, and certainly I know it doesn't sit well with our players or our staff. And I feel like, we'll get back to work, and hopefully, we got to focus on this one game. We'll get back on the winning track. And, again, you got to evaluate the season by quarters, and we want to win here in the first quarter.
How much of the experience you got from playing against Philly in the preseason helps you at this point?
I think it helps you some. I think both teams, and I can speak for us in particular, we were a little bit more vanilla throughout the preseason, especially in that game, and knowing that we'd have to, play him in the first quarter of the season. I think where it helps our players is, who they're going to be matching up with. They got a sense of that, so they got a little bit more of a scouting report other than just reading something on paper or watching tape. They got some real-time experience against those players. So I really feel like, coming back home and, that is a competitive advantage, I think. Some people don't think it's as much as it really is. I think, you got to win them at home, and our guys will do what San Diego do. They'll come out and try to defend their turf.
Is Houston for real?
Well, so far they are. They certainly have found a way to win in a very adverse situation yesterday. So I got to take my hat off to them. They seem to be, of those 2-0 teams, one of the hottest.
I looked at their rankings. They're like 32nd in the league against the pass and like first or second in the league against the run. When did they get so good against the run, or is that just because they're so bad against the pass?
They did play the Colts in the opener, and then they played Donovan McNabb in the second one.
That might have something to do with it. But McNabb didn't light it up against the Cowboys. I think I got my answer.
All right, and we've got our cue to call it a night. That's Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suttoth. Remember, tomorrow night, the Jack Del Rio Show. Then Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on Thursday with Brian, Jeff, and Vic. On Wednesday, rather. Thank you, Joe. We will be back with our coverage of the Jaguars and Eagles on Sunday, beginning at 1 o'clock with the Sunday's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. Kickoff at 4:05. Who will be at quarterback for the Eagles? They're saying Kevin Cobb, maybe Michael Vick. We'll see. Enjoy the week, and we'll hope to see you at the stadium on Sunday. Have a great night, everybody.